Hello, Carol. Fancy meeting
Hello.
you here.
You never know who you're going to bunk into.
I know.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How's your back?
It's not totally happy.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
I bet you are. Everything okay with the Moskowitzes? Jody called when you were on the phone.
No, I'll tell you. Poor Lindsay, her endometriosis acted up, and she wound up in the emergency room. She has a cyst. When I spoke to them last night, they were waiting to hear back from the her gynecologist.
Oh,
poor thing. She cannot cut a break.
No. Your hair looks good, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Okay.
It's Thursday. This week is flying by.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we're stuck in and time just flies by.
Yes.
Good morning. Susan, I have a question. I loved last week when you did the part where we closed our eyes, but you went through like our entire body. Is that something you got from somewhere I could find? Is there a recording of it or something?
Actually, every session is recorded.
Oh,
I have yet to been. So it took a while for me to find where the recordings were. They're now on the website. I think Emily has posted them on the website. I will find where they are, but they're not labeled. Like, they just have dates.
Oh, okay.
So one of my projects, because I, as you might not be surprised, I keep notes. One of my projects is to go back through and change the labels from dates to, or keep the dates and add titles. So at least if you were going back to look at something, like, it might spark.
Okay, so great.
I'm pretty sure. You know what? If you send me an email, then I'll remember. And because I have a note from Emily.
You aren't as old as we are. You should read it.
Ask my children. I've been telling them that since they were tiny. It's like, leave me a post on my desk. They start to tell me something. I'm like, just write me a note. And then I'll remember.
All right.
From one to the next. It's like, what? So, yeah, if you send me a note, then I'll at least be able to direct you to where. I have it somewhere buried in my email or Slack.
Okay.
Or
okay. Thank you. Because I really like that.
Thanks. I keep notes on what I'm doing. It's helpful for me too. But we've been recording these. I know it doesn't actually. So I guess I should ask you. No, and then we have to publicize that they're recorded. Somebody else could go back to them. So if they had titles, it would probably be of more help than just dates. But you know what last week's date was. So
I do. At least my calendar does.
Yeah. I know. What day is it today?
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. No worries. It always takes a minute to get settled in. Okay. I invite you all to just, you know, be comfortable where you are, notice where you are. Be with what is in this moment. I'm going to start with a poem by Maya Angelou that I really like. It's called A Brave and Startling Truth. We, this people on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our palms, we, this people on this small and drifting planet, whose hands can strike with such abandon, that in a twinkling, life is sapped from the living. Yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness, that the haughty neck is happy to bow and the proud back is glad to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety, without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it. Linda, begin there and let us sit for a moment with the images that arose for you in hearing that. Just let them be with you and breathe on that for a moment or two. So our practice together has had a variety of different Jewish rhythms, and this week we begin Torah again. So I was thinking that going forward we would continue with a mindfulness practice, but I was going to think about each week perhaps in terms of something that's in Torah that would anchor us, that would give us some grounding, and maybe even weave in some Jewish character traits, some midah, some musar idea of how we are, so combining sort of our being and our presence and our mindfulness with our, where we are Jewishly in the year and and some Jewish character trait. So just so you know where I'm going and thinking. And I appreciate, like Carol, I really appreciate you asking about last week, like helping me as I'm creating this with you. If there, I'm always open to like feedback and questions or things that you want more of or less of. So please do share that with me. So if this doesn't work for you, let me know that too. So mindfulness, Bereshit at the beginning, right? Mindfulness is this tool that is helping us work with our attention, refining ourselves, gaining clarity for how we act in the world, how we respond to what happens to us. And, you know, we come back to it each week, and I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times in my week where I find myself drawing upon my practice, and plenty of times where in reflection I go, wow, like, how did I miss that ability to see that more clearly, or to stop, or to breathe, to refocus. And it's hard. Even as there's less pulling at our attention or our time right now, it's still hard to give full attention to the things that we're engaged in often. So, you know, I look forward to these moments. There are times to practice together. It's a sense of accountability. And we can use these ideas, these values of midot, of character values, to help cultivate this awakeness, this inner wisdom in ourselves. So the opening lines of Torah this week involve our being created in the image and likeness of God, right? We are, that all of the holiness that we could ever hope for in the world already exists within us at the core of who we are, at our neshama, our soul. It's creation, right? The days of creation. So what I'm, the path I'm heading, I'm taking us on this morning is in thinking about creation and who we are as human beings is an idea, a trait called Seder. Well, you know, y'all know the word Seder. Right? You know the word Seder from Passover. Seder. Seder means order, right? And we do this meal that's sort of in an order. And there's an order embedded in creation. For us in this practice together, I want to propose thinking about order, not so much in having an order structure to our lives, like we have, you know, schedules and rigid, all that stuff, but an inner order, like that somehow our inner landscape, our inner self matches our external self, our outer self. Like there's alignment is the word I'm gonna come back to when I'm thinking about Seder and order, but alignment. So, right, these opening words of Genesis, right, at the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was tohu vavohu, wild and chaotic. Darkness was over the face of the ocean, and the rushing spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. There was evening, there was morning, one day. Those words are all familiar. And there's an order in those words, right? Things happened in a particular way. Sometimes as we look at the order of creation, right, the first things that are created are light and darkness. Sun and moon come 3 days later. Like sometimes order doesn't maybe seem logical to us. Order might not be an alignment that we expect. But the narrative of creation itself moves through its days in its own divine order. And each day there's a divine check-in at the end of the day. God saw it and it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, another day. So this Torah, this beginning story in Genesis, the days of creation go on, and the world moves from the earth was wild and chaotic, tohu vavohu. It moves from chaos to the end of this sequence is, of course, Shabbat. Order, resting, it's done. Everything is complete. It's in its proper place. There's no clashing. right? There's a sense of order and alignment and peace. So from chaos to alignment. So I was thinking about, like, what about us? Like, do we see ourselves moving from chaos to alignment in the course of our day, in the course of our week? And I'm not sure we think about ourselves moving in that kind of direction. We think about linear timeline, right? Even when we think about the days of creation and the days of the week, right? We measure days and months and years. We measure birthdays and milestones in time moving through the course of our lives. And our daily activities revolve around schedules. What meeting do we have next? What tasks do we have next to do? Our desks, probably from the course of a day, we might start with like an organized work area. And by the end of the day, it's like everything's all over the place. All the things we had to do, things kids needed, things bosses needed, right? It actually probably goes more from order to chaos, from maybe some alignment to more chaos. But Torah is calling to us to do something different, to view the world from God's perspective, not from time, and not the upside downness, but to reorient an inner chaos to alignment. You know, and as human beings, we're like the very last thought of creation. There's so much that happens before us, right? We're that last moment, almost an afterthought. But then, of course, Genesis 2 goes on and says, well, okay, maybe not so much an afterthought. We have that sense of chaos to alignment, but we have to do more. It's not just that we have to exist, right? It's not that just human beings are called into existence, but in the very next chapter, we actually get the framework. We get the Seder. We get the alignment of what we're supposed to strive for. And that is in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, God calls us to work this creation and to guard it. We are given this creation le'ovda, from the same word as avoda or avod, to work, to ulashomra, and to guard it. So that's it. There's our framework. There's our alignment. What are we supposed to do? Be active in the ongoing nature and existence of creation. And for that, we need to be awake. We need to be aware. We need to be open and ready and attuned to our inner structure, our inner alignment. So an orientation, a practice of mindfulness toward presence, toward awareness, toward being awake, is an experience of awe, in a sense, right? That sense of alignment, we need to pay attention to what is inside of us and what is outside of us. In tune with the rhythm of creation, with a source of wonder, so that we can know how we are supposed to be in the world. Because if the experience of awe and wonder shows us, when we can be open to it, shows us our place, shows us then how we can be who we need to be. So as I think about all those things, I come back to our breath, right? We talk about how our breath in this kind of practice can be an anchor. It can be a place where we hold ourselves, a place where we can notice our alignment. Why is my camera just not liking my light? Sorry, it's like... where it can give us not just an anchor for our attention, but it is the source of all of this, right? And breathing itself has its own alignment, has its own Seder of all the things that have to happen in this miraculous bodies, in these miraculous bodies of ours, right? How all of the different pieces have to work. And oh my God, in this pandemic, do we know that like the true miracle of what breathing is and what we need breathing to be. And so breath, right at the very beginning, is the core and the anchor of creation, because it shows right up at the beginning. God formed the human being from the dust of the earth, from the Adama, and God blew into the nostrils the Nishmat Chayim, the breath of life, and the human being and the human, this creature, becomes a nefesh chaya, a living being. So a neshama, our soul, is literally our life breath, right? It animates who we are. And with that breath, with that divine breath, the being becomes living, the human being becomes living, we become living in each moment. So creation brings us an opportunity to explore our own alignment. What do we take from the Seder, the order and alignment and framework that is around us, to apply to ourselves, right? As created in God's image, not that God looks like me or you, but that who we are reflects the values and the purpose of this universe. And so when we, in a practice, even just work on paying attention to our own breath with this verse in mind, that God breathed into the human being and that's what was transformative, right? We can, for me, I get a sense of that real interconnectedness in the universe, that my life is woven into the life force of the universe, that my breathing isn't just my breath, right? I breathe in all that the universe has breathed out, the trees, right, other people. And when I breathe out, who I am, my life breath, enters into the universe for everybody else. And so there's a different kind of order in that. I am not the sole architect of everything that I am and everything that I do. And that experience, that consciousness of creation, can also give us the freedom to then actually pay attention to who we are and recognize where our boundaries of control are, where the things that we need to pay attention to are, how we can experience our own bodies and our own selves and our own minds, but in the context of something around us, of the world around us, just through our breath, to know that this breath is our literally our life force, but that comes from everywhere. You know, every breath is like a snowflake. Every snowflake is different. Every breath is different. Every breath that I take is different. It's not like the one I took that breathed me before. It's new and separate, and it's not like any that will come after. And so in our own attentiveness, being with our alignment, we can actually meet ourselves again. We can re-enter moments of creation with every breath. That's very powerful. As we've come off a long period of reflection and introspection and doing teshuvah, to recognize that really in every day, in every moment, in every breath, we have the power to transform ourselves, to transform the way we think, the way we approach things, the way we respond to things. We don't have to be trapped in what came before. So I wanted to spend some time this morning, not shockingly, with our breath. And what would it be like to experience that sense of being breathed, of God's giving, of our receiving? So we won't get into theology because there's lots of experiences of God, but our receiving this divine breath, this breath that comes from somewhere beyond us, that animates us, that brings us both a connectedness, but that holds each of us as unique and wondrous beings. So recenter or orient or shift yourself so that you are once again feeling comfort where you are sitting, that you have the support of I want you to feel the ground under your feet or your ankles, depending on how you're, feel where your legs are settled and supported. Your legs do a lot of work for you all day long, moving you, sitting you, supporting you. So give them a place that they can actually be settled and they can receive some, your legs and your feet can receive some support. Your spine. Let your hands rest comfortably somewhere, whether it's at your sides or in your lap. And just feel the surfaces of your body that are in contact with a chair or with a couch or with the floor or with one another. Where is your body, parts of your body touching other parts of your body? And just notice those sensations. Now, as you let those sensations be, however they are, without judging aches and pains or things that you're concerned about, to just be with those sensations, take a couple of intentional breaths. Reality is breathing is going to happen on its own, but take a few noticeable breaths. Just a few deep breaths. Paying attention to what you're feeling as you breathe, where you feel the air expand, where you feel your body shift. If you feel the coolness in your nose or your throat, the warmth as you exhale. And then just let your breath return to its own natural rhythm. Let go of any control of it. Let yourself just be breathed. And see if you can bring your attention just to the sensations of the breath in your body. As it flows in and out. So now bring a little curiosity to where you are in this moment. Just notice if you're more likely to, for your thoughts to wander or be distracted as your breath flows. Do you wander when there is an in-breath? An out breath, maybe between breaths. And And when your attention wavers, even if it is over and over again, if you notice discomfort or antsiness, whatever you notice that might pull your attention away from your breath, your being, your neshama, be gentle with yourself and just lovingly call your attention back to the flow of air, the in-breath, the out-breath, as the air flows in and out. And if it helps, you can even just think to yourself or sense to yourself in and out. Continue to feel yourself being breathed. The air that's drawn into our lungs, filled with oxygen produced by the plant world that sustains us. The out-breath, when we send carbon dioxide used by the plants for their sustenance. Each breath we share with all beings. Each breath we take, each breath we are given, comes from the whole of the world for our use, no charge. Be with the gift of each breath. And now just let go of any curiosity or investigation. Just be in the experience of sitting with your breath, whatever happens. There is nowhere else to be, nothing else to do. Each of us a human being alive in the world, being breathed. This Nishmat Chaim, breath of life, arrives each moment, a gift given freely, sustaining us in life. Any thoughts or reflections or questions that anybody wants to share or ask?
So, unfortunately, breath and COVID go together. And I couldn't get the idea of sharing my breath with everyone away from, I don't want to share anybody's breath.
Huh. Well, that's good to notice that.
Absolutely.
And yet there's so much deep in that of like, so there's a shared breath and a shared responsibility, right? We, in fact, that's part of the protection that we're taking because whether we want to or not, we do all share breath. But sometimes just noticing where we are and noticing our resistances is really important. That's just part of paying attention to our own alignment in the moment.
I was thinking that breath is such a gift. What do I do in my life to be worthy of that gift? How do I give back?
And so this is a wonderful practice just to be with that and to pay attention to your inner wisdom of knowing that you want to, and then what is it that you have to do? But it's a very, as Barbara said, scary and also Phyllis said empowering notion to recognize I mean, we know from our lives, like we take breathing for granted, and yet, and it's an amazing process, and it starts right here with creation. It's our soul, and yet there are so many things that can get in the way of it. And when we don't pay attention to it, when we hold our breath, and we, you know, there's all kinds of metaphor, right, about the constriction of our breath. But that's like the core of what animates us. And so on the one hand, you know,
it's our only companion that's with us our whole life.
It's true. It's true. And God willing, most of the time we don't have to work to even do it. Right? It happens easily and regularly and without trouble. It's kind of amazing. And yet all of us have had experiences of different, you know, depths and severity. I know all of you, you know, whether it's short term or long term, that have had challenges to that breathing, to that alignment, to that core of who we are. And so paying attention to it more, right, gives us a bigger perspective, not just when it's challenged.
I think when you said to think of the words breathe in and breathe out, there are times when I was distracted or thinking about something else I need to do, or a phone call I need to make later, or check on my dog with the vet. Things like that were distracting me, and then I kept trying to get back to the breathe in and breathe out. And I've been doing Headspace on the recommendation of my doctor, and that also has the same correlations that you were doing with breathing in and breathing out. And I think with all this COVID stuff, and you hear about people have been on a ventilator for 54 days or whatever, that their entire time is trying to get a breath, and that how thankful we are that we are breathing and that we are in our homes with the health that we all do have, even though we have, you know, difficulties in obtaining food or making decisions about going to the store or who to see or not to see, or, you know, telling a relative, no, you can't come to my house. You've been in too many places that I don't consider safe. So those are difficulties that I think interfere with our day-to-day breathing and day-to-day existence. Yeah. At this time, which we never thought about last year, we never would have occurred to us in these things.
The reason I return to our breath a lot in our practice. I mean, today it's very embedded also in this week's Torah portion, but it's because it happens, right? There's actually the when we can turn our attention to something that is actually regular and hopefully reliable. I know everybody's got to go. So I'll stop for a second, because I just want to tell you that next week I will not be here. So you have two options. Because next Thursday, our daughter's getting married. So, yeah. It's very exciting in our backyard with just immediate family. So you have two options. Thank you.
Yes.
We can just cancel. Or if you all want to show up and just sit with one another at 9 o'clock too, that's okay. So just, I don't know, like I could take a quick straw poll. Would you rather cancel or be here? What do you think?
I say cancel if you're not going to be here, and mazel tov on your daughter.
Okay.
Same for me. Carol.
Yes.
Mazel tov, and I won't be here either. So
okay.
All right. Cancel's fine with me.
So, okay. So I know people are needing to go. The breath by using by practicing with our attention on our breath, that practice translates into our attention to other things. That's the point. Like, that's what we're going at. So when we practice with something that's regular and we can just keep coming back to it and it's reliable and we don't have to do anything else to it, that practice of reorienting our attention, we can then take into other situations, right? By mm-hmm. even just like taking the breath, and it's like putting yourself back in that moment, right? Taking and going, oh, right. And being able to then shift into a moment of greater clarity, of greater choice, That's the point of the practice, Meryl. Yeah.
Well, and then I say, and then help to move from chaos to order, just to bring it back
full circle.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. And it moves from chaos to order. So when you're feeling like totally disoriented, if you stop and take that breath, you have taken yourself through that experience of like shifting out of the chaos, trying to come back to that moment of alignment. So that's what we're practicing. That's what we're practicing together each week. So a short little poem and we'll go. It's by Nancy Martin. I don't know where I found this, but I liked it and it's a beautiful day. When we first wake up, we don't know much, but the birds do. Sparrow, rooster, peacock, each can tell the difference between night and morning, between when we dream our lives and live them. Their chirps and trills can move us toward noticing how breathing and not breathing are both part of our days, and how the light of this world filtered through our waking becomes the song we all know how to sing.
What was the name of the first poem by Maya Angelou?
It is called, what is it called? A Brave and Startling Truth.
Thank you.
All right, my dear friends, have a beautiful day. Find some clean and easy breathing. A safe and healthy week, and I'll see if I may see you at other times, but otherwise we'll resume in 2 Thursdays for this.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Mazel tov to your daughter and her fiance and your whole family. Have a wonderful day next week. We pray for good weather.
It'll be what it, we're like all like, it's going to be fine. Whatever. We'll deal with whatever it is.
This be beautiful weather, so yeah.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.